Welcome to Making Our Way Forward, a podcast where we share compelling life stories and learn from the experience of everyday entrepreneurs. At NACI, we celebrate diversity and invite you to join the conversation as we talk to entrepreneurs and leaders from all walks of life. We hope that by telling their stories, we bring you inspiration, empower you to take action, and ignite entrepreneurship in your community. Well, welcome everyone. Welcome to the podcast, Making Our Way Forward. We've had a number of exciting guests, and I'm delighted to welcome our guest today, Betsy Shoshanik. And Betsy, welcome to the program. We're so happy to have you here today.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Becky. It's a pleasure to be here.
It's great to see you. And I just for our sort of NACI following and our global followers, I have to disclose that I was connected to you through through your mom, which is really pretty cool. She is a professor at Wilmington University, which is where I did my doctoral work. And it just shows you the strength of ties. I never actually took a class from her, but I heard so many good things about her from my colleagues that I keep in touch with today. In fact, as we are celebrating Women's History Month, the whole month, Monica Curry, who's one of my classmates, is actually our keynote speaker later today. So it's a big celebration of your family, of Wilmington University, and of all of the good things. And another interesting fact that connects us is I shared this with you before. Several of my family members are actually librarians. So we have a special affinity for that. So, but I want to jump into you, Betsy, because I really enjoyed the conversation that we had a couple weeks ago. I know you've spoken with my co-host, Jeff Smith, and colleague that does a lot of the equity work. So why don't you just talk a little bit about your background, who you are, what passion projects you have, and maybe what brought you to your current role in the Urban Libraries Association.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Becky, and I'm so glad my mom connected us because she mentioned that you worked with NACI, and I was like, I've been following NACI's work for years, so it ended up being very serendipitous. So I am currently a program manager at the Urban Libraries Council, and my role is a little bit unique in that it's supporting public libraries and how they're thinking about entrepreneurship and how they think about how they're supporting small and micro businesses, particularly underserved entrepreneurs and business owners who are very small. They may be even operating as side hustles, or they may be a restaurant owner that maybe is falling through the cracks. They may not be being served by other business organizations. And so I get to support our libraries in thinking about all of the varied ways that they can support entrepreneurs, everything from their makerspace to their business services librarian and their databases that they have access to. Once you start thinking about all the assets that a library has, from meeting space all the way up to a 3D printer, you start becoming pretty quickly that there's definitely lines to be drawn between public libraries and entrepreneurship, especially when you factor in the free and open access, commitment to privacy, and just access to knowledge. And that commitment that the library has to be a community anchor. So it's a really exciting position because I get to work with a network of librarians who are approaching this work and are dedicated to their communities as the community anchor. So I get to work with a network of librarians and how they approach and support the community, but particularly their local business community, and build economic opportunity. So it's great. I get to work with cities across the US and Canada. I get to work with librarians, and I get to hear about the entrepreneurs that they work with and the ways that they are growing their work to support entrepreneurs in a whole wide variety of ways. I came to this work initially out of college when I began doing entrepreneurship technical assistance. So I got to work on the ground with entrepreneurs. I like to say it was every day was a little different. I would sit down with entrepreneurs every day and I would say, all right, where are we going to find a commercial grade popcorn popper? Or do we need a commercial kitchen space for gourmet dog treats? and helping people think through, is this the right step for them? Is this the right leap? And it's a heavy role to be helping people think through, is entrepreneurship the right step for them? Or if it's a side hustle or a component of that, how are the ways that they can maximize it? How can they make sure that they're not taking risks and pieces like that? And I take my entrepreneurship work all the way back to when I was in middle school and tried to create my own purse company, and very quickly realized that it was not profitable. But I did try for a little while when I got really into the marketing side of things and had my younger brother doing the entire production of the bags for 10% of the proceeds. So there were definitely maybe some child labor violations in there and wage discrepancies, but it was the first lesson in terms of, I like doing this, but what steps would that be for a livelihood? So I view our work as being key in building economic opportunities in communities. And right now I get to look through the lens of public libraries and doing that, which is a really unique role. And I like to think of it as very much tied to how NACI is looking at community colleges and as an institution for playing that kind of key anchor role in supporting entrepreneurs.
Yeah, I loved everything that you said. There's so much rich content there, especially what you were talking about as a middle schooler and leveraging family connections and kind of having this cool dream. And a lot of the research, and I'm sure you know this, you know, very well, is that a lot of entrepreneurs, it's kind of part of their DNA and they experiment with it. And then I imagine people like you and people like me take a lot of that innovative entrepreneurial spirit and really drive that into the nonprofit organizations that that we support and that we lead. And I think what's super interesting too is when you were talking about the similarities between NACI getting this network of community colleges together and what you all do with the network of urban libraries. And one of the things that Jeff Smith and I have, you know, really looked carefully at is some of the data around, you know, capital cities and really sort of the challenges, if you will, because they, you know, there is a lot of disparity in income and opportunity. But, you know, many, many of them have urban libraries. So maybe you could share with us a little bit about, you know, your network of libraries in urban areas and maybe some of, you know, some of the work that you're doing to address some of the equity challenges that we're seeing across the country.
Absolutely. That's a great question, Becky. One of the things that, so we are a network of large urban library systems. So very large, sophisticated library systems. We work, one of the library systems I work closely with is Toronto Public Library. They have 100 branch locations. They're one of the largest in North America, but also New York Public Library, LA County Public Library. So very large systems. But I think when I think about our libraries is they are strategically placed in terms of their branch locations and especially how they've been emerging outside of their library buildings. We've seen, particularly with COVID, an even increased need for people to step outside of the library to meet community members where they are, maybe not in person, maybe virtually. But and so we work with large urban systems. And so when we look at cities and we look at the landscape of economic opportunity in cities, it's not even across the city, to say the least. Different neighborhoods have different needs, and there's a lot of systemic equity issues. Particularly in our cities right now, we see them as very economically segregated, very wealthy pockets and very poor pockets. And so when libraries are approaching this work, they're trying to strategically place their resources to make sure that they're reaching the people who need those resources the most. They serve everybody, but also they're trying to make sure that they preserve an equity lens when they approach that work. And that means working with communities of color. That's, you know, factoring in the racial wealth divide if we're just talking about economic opportunity. And that means working with women or entrepreneurs who may be single mothers, and all of these different pieces, when they think about where are we offering our classes, where are we, where, what community organizations are we partnering with? Where are we presenting? And I think for us, one of the things and the pieces of this conversation in light of COVID has been, so often when we talk about digital equity and the digital divide and broadband access, libraries has always been a key player in that conversation because they've helped be that stopgap. They've always provided devices, in the library and internet. And especially with the library buildings being closed, we've also had an increased awareness of digital equity. And so often it's talked about as a rural issue, but the broadband affordability issue is true in urban communities. And that's been something that's really come up as our libraries have stepped up in terms of the hotspot and device lending to get them in the hands of students, but also business owners, as business owners had to move their work on and change their business model. Restaurants had to start figuring out how do we do curbside pickup? And that brings up a whole host of issues of digital equity. And so I think we're trying to look at equity holistically in terms of economic, digital, and the systemic issues at play in our cities to be thinking about the wide range of services.
Yeah, that is so fascinating. And I really love what you said about bridging the digital divide. That's some of the work that we've just been so fortunate to be involved with. And, you know, a lot of our work has been in rural areas, but you bring up an excellent point. You know, access to devices, connectivity can be equally as challenging in urban areas. So let's shift for a second, Betsy, to thinking about where we are now. So, you know, many of us just sort of we're thinking about the year that we've been locked down and reimagining and reinventing. Share with us, if you will, what the last year has been like for you as a professional, and also maybe for your association, maybe give us an insight into how libraries have adapted to some of the challenges.
Yeah, it has been fascinating watching the libraries pivot when their buildings closed, because so often the library is a place. It's a place and they have books and it's where you go, and it can be a home away from home, particularly for key populations like the homeless. So when the doors shut for safety concerns, what's been really inspiring to me has been watching the libraries, the sheer amount of creativity. A lot of libraries immediately pivoted to have Wi-Fi available in their parking lots or outside of their building. So students and community members could sit outside with their laptops. I actually walked by my local branch back in March of last year and saw a group of three students with their laptops sitting outside because they had Wi-Fi access. But also in terms of the entrepreneurship work, what I have seen is you know, a big shift to virtual programming. But also with that virtual programming, there is another piece of that with the virtual programming, they've also been talking about this digital equity gap in a very real way. I had a library staff person who said she went rogue, printed out flyers, and just started hanging them all around different neighborhoods that she knew, you know, needed to understand and to say that we're on Facebook at here, but also, you know, here's a packet of, you know, you can pick up a packet of paper information if you need it. That it's about getting your PPP loans or about increasing access. And so to the support that's needed, we saw a number of library systems that set up hotlines for financial assistance, including one of the libraries in our cohort that was all about unemployment support, but also for small businesses and how they're getting that. I think we're at a really interesting point now with the American Rescue Plan Act coming out. It has the tremendous amount of support for libraries, but also has expanded the eligibility for businesses. So I think we're only going to continue seeing some more of that creativity. And as libraries begin to open back up, one thing that we've already heard is a lot of the things that they began offering in the pandemic, the virtual programming, the way that they were doing the Zoom meetings with clients and things like that, those pieces are not going to go away. They're going to be additive to what they're bringing back, because people, especially as comfort levels shift and change, but the convenience and the demand still exists.
Yeah, and there's so many good outcomes to that in terms of environmental and, you know, hopefully some of those things. And it sounds like you and your colleagues have really leaned into that and embraced that. And as we were chatting a little bit earlier this morning, we were talking about sort of employee engagement, and our producer, Natalia, is really our, we call her our chief happiness officer, because she's always being very thoughtful and bringing a lot of joy into our office. And we were talking about a fun trivia. It was not fun for me, I'll have you tell, because I ranked last in terms of trivia knowledge, but it was super fun to think about that. Maybe you could just share a little bit about some of the things that you've been doing with your colleagues and your association just to kind of keep spirits high and keep people being innovative and connected to each other, especially as many people are working from home.
Absolutely. So we have done trivia as well. I've pulled a bunch of library data and across some of our programs, and we use that as a team bonding experience. We actually... I used it as my way to also learn about how to use Zoom breakout rooms as I try to level up my Zoom knowledge. And so I had teams break out into their groups, and then everybody reported back. And so, of course, the first question was identifying the team name for each group, which was the question that took the longest for everyone, I think. But it was those pieces, I think, that all came together, that they were, you know, that we figured out, we used it as an exercise, and we actually found we identified some knowledge gaps and some ways that we can be better sharing about our work across the team. And also, I think it's been interesting even more broadly is, you know, how we're connecting virtually and how we can be embedding things like trivia and adding some of those nice check-ins in our Zoom meetings as we bring our communities together, both within our staff and with our members. I work across the cohort. And so my favorite question right now has been asking everybody what the weather's like where they are, because I'm getting a wide variety of answers. But also asking people about their favorite mugs was an example one of our library staff had pulled together. And so just trying to use that as a way to bring people together and have some of that connection while everybody is still pretty isolated has been really nice.
It is nice. And that's a lot of what we do at NACI, is really focusing on empathy. And, you know, it's funny, I talk to people in our network and they say some of the things that they miss the most surprise them the most. Like, they miss the people that they didn't know really well, but like the people that cut their hair and people like that, that were such a central part of their lives that they don't see as often or at all anymore. And I think, you know, making sure that whether we're running a business or a school or an association and whatever our specific function is, that we really attend to that, because that's really, I think, what pulls us all together. So I was really happy to hear you say that. And as our time sort of runs short for this conversation, which I think could be like super long, because I love all the things that you're talking about, Betsy, maybe you could just share with us aspirationally your hopes for the future. Maybe you could touch on your organization, but even some of your personal goals, you know, as things become safer to get back out there, what are some of the things that you're looking forward to seeing or doing?
Absolutely. So that is, I'm hoping we're on the end of this, the pandemic, as things slowly but surely turn back to normal. I'll say a few things about our work at ULC around this. I think that we've really been reframing a lot of our work around anti-racism and equity issues as we look at the lens of digital equity, as we look at economic opportunity. And for me, I think I've been restructuring a lot of our entrepreneurship work around economic justice. And as we think about underserved entrepreneurs, we really think about those audiences who have been systemically unable to access resources in the past. And so I'm excited as we approach that, that we're thinking about it in that systemic way. And we're thinking about what are the barriers and what are the systems that we can be thinking about in terms of addressing some of those equity issues. And it's been inspiring for me working with the library staff as they've been looking at what does that look like in my community. And whether that's a mentorship program or whether that's a some other structural program to help them get connected, even in COVID, as hard as that is, that we're addressing those barriers and ultimately kind of creating more thriving local economies. So I think the fact that we're approaching this work in a more holistic and more thoughtful way in terms of the systems and the barriers and our awareness of those is really exciting for me because I think that's the power to be transformative for communities.
Yeah. And I think that's what I'm so excited about your generation is I see that spirit of kind of, you know, hopefulness and trying to uplift and recognize problems that have been there for a long time. And one of the things NACI is super excited about is October 3rd through the 6th, our national conference is going to be in Minneapolis, Minnesota, which of course, you know, is the site of sadly the George Floyd murder. However, we're really leaning into that as an opportunity to do some really deep work and acknowledgement. We had a conversation about that this morning. So as we continue our kind of exploration of things, it would be really fun to think about how our organizations might collaborate in some form or fashion, either through Zoom or, you know, having you all there to really share about this resource, because I've thought about it a lot. You know, certainly libraries are such a key institution to communities, but Betsy, you've really brought to light how I think through what you mentioned about the maker movement and, you know, racial healing and some of the other things that are just, you know, not only issues to tackle, but opportunities to really do some work societally to make things better. So I want to thank you so much for your time and the work that you do. And I think this is just going to be one of many conversations to come, but I hope that you'll, you know, continue to do the work that you're doing. And as we all make our way forward, we can sort of look forward to brighter days. At least that's our plan for 2021 and beyond. Yeah. So
when we can get back into libraries, at least.
There you go. That's right. So thank you, Betsy.
Thank you, Becky.
Thank you so much for joining us. We hope that listening to this podcast will help you to explore the many ways we might define entrepreneurship. Join us every other Wednesday for more episodes as we celebrate opportunity, learn from one another, and grow together. Subscribe to this podcast, connect with us on social media, and learn more about today's speakers at naci.com/podcast. We look forward to making our way forward together with you.
Have you heard about our latest book, Impact Ed, How Community College Entrepreneurship Creates Equity and Prosperity? This is our roadmap for building back better in 50 states and globally. In each chapter, we share the inspiring stories of everyday entrepreneurs and explain how community colleges play a crucial role in their success. Visit us at naci.com/impacted to order your copy now and join us in this work.
Have you heard the exciting news? NACI recently released a new publication titled The NACI Playbook, Volume 1, all about how entrepreneurial mindset sets the new standard for success in communities and colleges. The NACI Playbook digs into entrepreneurial mindset and how practicing leadership with this framework creates an agile culture with space to innovate, co-create, fail forward, and accelerate growth. Entrepreneurship and entrepreneurial leadership require us to lean in, anticipate and recognize trends, manage change, be resilient, take risks, reflect, and rest in the knowledge that anything is possible. Learn from our innovative, insightful, generous network who navigates both challenges and opportunities entrepreneurially as we share what we've learned and how you might apply their experience to your work. We hope you'll be as inspired as we were. Learn more at www.naseyplaybook.com.